Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon State basketball coach Wayne Tinkle joining us fresh off of practice. What's that like after practice? You walk out of there, is it a much different feel than a game? Do you have something you want to accomplish in practice?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question, John.
Yeah, when you come out of a practice like that, you know, you come off the practice court, you often probably go in with an objective. I want to accomplish this in practice today. How different a feel is that than maybe after a game?
Well, you know, obviously the stakes aren't as high, but what you'd want to try to train your guys to understand is the harder we make practice, the easier games should be. And sometimes when you maybe don't have the most experienced or mature group, the practices they think should be on the easier side, and then they wonder why the games become such a struggle. And those are some things that we've gone through, so that's a great point. But you really want to walk out of there thinking we accomplished what the objective was, but all the while we played really hard and we stayed together through it all. You've got to design your week around. The closer you get to game, maybe the length of practice isn't as long, but you're still going every bit as intense as you need to.
You've won two straight, had a really good week. It started with a win over Arizona State at the buzzer, and then you guys beat USC in a close game. You've been winning close games. What's the difference between winning and losing a close game?
Well, just the focus the attention to details. Early on, we lost some games, where we didn't maybe rotate defensively. We didn't execute offensively and turned it over. So the small things, and I think a big part of that is just the amount of new guys and young guys, and we had to go through those experiences.
How do you feel right now about the team? When you win those two close games, that's momentum. What does that feel like when you're coaching a team?
Well, I tell you, it allows you to sleep a little bit more. But really what it does is, our guys are now got their chins up and a little extra pep in their giddy-up, so to speak. But you know, it wasn't too long ago we got shellacked, and I know there was a lot of things that went into that. The timing was not real good for us, but I think it was a real wake-up call. But it shows the character of our guys. You know, they came back the next day, ready to go to work. And I think I keep mentioning the finish to that Arizona game by Zach Reichel and Ethan Thompson, continuing to fight until we pulled them out, really set the tone moving forward. And we challenged them to do that from the start of games, not wait until we got down. And then we challenged all the other guys to follow their lead. And it led to a big turnaround and a really good win against a very talented Arizona State team. And then we validated that by, the hottest team in the league, other than UCLA at the time, was USC. And we got them as well. So really, it really does breed confidence into the things we're working on, into the things we focused on. We simplified things after the Arizona game. And one of our assistants said, "Coach, we need to tell these guys that success isn't necessarily W's right now." And so we made that a point, guys. Let's just focus on really executing the plan, but let's play harder than our opponents and enjoy each other out there. If we do those three things, it'll be a successful game, and it'll lead to wins at some point, and they flipped it around pretty quickly.
Some of the football coaches had a hard time getting rhythm in their season because they get a game canceled, and then it was scattered. The kids were scattered for the weekend instead of traveling together. How hard has it been in Pac-12 basketball to get rhythm?
It's been very difficult, and for us it started way back. I mean, of our first 30 practices, we only had all of our guys for eight of them. And it wasn't COVID protocol type stuff. We had two concussions, four ankle sprains, And so all the while, we had a bunch of new guys and young guys. So we couldn't develop rotations or really any cohesiveness. Then you get into where you're playing games kind of on the fly. Then you lose some you don't think you should lose. Doubt creeps in. And to our guys' credit, they've really hung in there through all of that. And then you add what's gone on in the last 10 months, you know, in our society and then the pandemic. I'm really proud of our group for hanging in there and continuing to grind. And, you know, our staff has been really tight through all of this and continue to praise these guys, but to push them, you know, and then to explain, listen, and we've had guys that didn't want to practice because they were really fearful of COVID, you know, when maybe we had, you know, somebody had tested positive and so now you're talking about how do you motivate these guys when they've got all of this stuff going through their minds at their age. And so, you know, I'm proud of everybody that's fighting through this. We're all going through the same thing, but at different levels. And, you know, we're just happy and thankful to be getting these games in. So we're saying, guys, let's let this be our salvation. When we step on the court, clear our minds of everything else and let's get after it. And the guys have bought into that.
You know, the daily testing and keeping your team healthy. I thought basketball was going to be easier than football. I really did, because your roster size, your travel parties, like 25 people. I thought this will be easier than football. But I didn't account for the fact that when you do get a positive test, it knocks out a swath of your team. You know, how tenuous does that feel to you on a week-to-week basis? Because that's one more thing you got to control.
Well, and it goes right in hand with what you just asked. You're so afraid of how your rhythm can be interrupted, you know. But I tell you, there's a flip side. If you've got it going in a bad way, you know, and then there's a pause, you can kind of get everybody reeled back in. But you've got it going a little bit and you lose that, it's tough to bring it back. But then, I mean, we're on eggshells. You know, every day we're mentioning, hey, guys, because we can control them when they're around us. But when now they're back in, you know, their dorms or their apartments, you know, that's where they've got to really be careful and who they're associating with and making sure they're keeping their social distance and wearing their masks and all that. And our guys have done a pretty good job of that. And the first case we had was after Christmas break, but we thought that it was really instrumental that through all the stuff our guys had been through, they really deserved to go home and spend some time with the family. You know, and when we came back, we kind of had some repercussions, but still wouldn't have changed it. So it's tough. It's something that eats, you know, at us, our coaches, you know, when we're trying to plan daily. And now it's like when the phone rings, you don't even say what's next. You just expect something else is happening.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, we're talking to Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State men's basketball coach. When I look at your box scores, I expect to see Ethan Thompson and Jared Lucas taking shots and getting points. But where do you need production to be successful? Because I think in their last two games, what I have seen is a whole bunch of guys with 6 points or 12 points, and it just seems you're much more balanced.
Yeah. Well, it starts with post play. We've got to be able to score in the paint. And, you know, when we lost to Stanford and, you know, Arizona, we were without Roman Silva. Rodrigue Andela was was out for most of the Stanford game. Then they were on limited minutes for Arizona State. But when we have a post presence, that allows our shooters on the perimeter and our playmakers a little more, frees them up a little bit. You know, and people were asking, you know, where's Ethan going to get it going? What can you do to get him going? And the big thing was, well, the guys around him, you know, they've got to contribute and be more consistent. And as we've seen that, you know, more points in the paint from our bigs, better shooting from the perimeter. Some of the other guys, you know, are been a little bit more consistent scoring it. Now they can't focus all their attention on Ethan. And we've seen that the last couple of days where now he's scoring like we know he can and getting the assists, you know, that we expect out of him. So that balance of inside out is really key for us.
Yeah, I look at a guy like Roman Silva. He's 10 for his last 11. He's 10 out of 11 from the floor in those two games. He doesn't miss.
No, he's high percent. I mean, he's a big guy, and, you know, he's been banged up a little bit. Coach Jimmy Anderson was by practice today and, you know, really marked on how improved he was. And, you know, Coach Rupp does great work with our bigs. And He's got himself in shape. He's healthy, and he's a real presence defensively. You know, we put him in those last couple of possessions against SC because of his size. You know, on the Mobleys, and he continues to get bigger and stronger and in better shape, he's going to be a real force because he can score it. He can pass it down there. And you know, at 265 pounds, you know, he's hard to move.
Wayne Tinkle with us, Oregon State men's basketball coach. All right, so these guys are doing basketball, basketball, basketball. Of course, they're adapting to a COVID world. How do you keep them, because you talk to them obviously about being responsible and not hanging out at places they shouldn't hang out and how important that is to the team, but is there anything you can do beyond that? Like, do you do team activities? Do you say to guys, we're doing a film session, we're watching a game, we're watching a movie? How do you control these guys when they're not under your control?
Well, that's the big question, because we're not allowed, you know, to, we can't meet for an extended length of time. Otherwise, you know, we're contact tracing. So, you know, even our team meals now, you know, usually when we have a pregame meal, we're all in there. We're all, you know, conversing, having our meal, getting our minds right. There's none of that. So they come and they package up their pregame meal, and then they go back to their dorms or their apartments to eat. You know, it's like even team functions, you know, we can't bring the team to our house for a big catered meal. Study halls, they're all spread out. So all the opportunities you have to really bond and become cohesive have been taken away. You know, we've only had one quick road trip, and that was, you know, to play Washington State on a single game. So going out on the road and traveling and bonding in the preseason, it's so important and such a big part of it. That's all been taken away. And here we're going to the LA schools here next week. John, we can't bring the team into a conference room to meet for film or for meals. So we're going to do film sessions through Zoom meetings. Food's going to be delivered to the rooms. I mean, so there's it's such a whacked out experience for these guys and so opposite what they're used to. That's why we've got to continue when we're on the court to talk about more than ever sharing it and really enjoying each other out there. And I think it took us a while, but we're finally starting to understand how important that is and what it leads to.
Oregon State is at Oregon tomorrow, 7:30 tip. What do you see when you look at Oregon on film?
Well, they've got so many interchangeable parts, and they're so dynamic. You know, you've got length, size at every position, guys that can shoot it, put it on the floor. You know, with the big fella being out, they're not quite as big at the rim. But still, boy, they play at a frenetic pace. They want to force you into quick, bad decisions. And then they got a lot of weapons offensively. So, you know, we know they've been off for a little while. You know, they're going through some adversity as well. So we've got to be really dialed in with what our plan is and then get ready to adjust because, you know, you day by day, you don't know who's going to be out there, you know, in terms of your opponent. And so we've got to be ready to adjust there. But, you know, they're a ranked team. They've had some really good success early. But there's going to be some question marks because they've been off. We don't know, you know, who's going to be active to play. And so then our guys just have to be, like I said, really, really dialed in with what we need to do and then ready to adjust to how they're playing.
You know, I had said before you came on, look, I was looking at you guys struggling there for a stretch, and I was discouraged for you. And then you came out of that, and you guys, with that sort of renewed focus, have played really well in two games. You've won two close games. When you, like, in good times, I think it's easy for people to be focused and players to be up. How do you get through those tough times?
Well, we said after the Arizona loss, and again, we're not excuse makers. You know, that was the perfect storm for us. You know, only 2 days of practice after 8 days off. But the last thing we said after we challenged the guys, you know, toughness and focus and all of that, I said, now remember this. You're never as bad as you think you are. You're never as good as you think you are. So when we won those two games, we reminded them of that statement. Okay, now, you're never as good as you think you are. So let's come back tomorrow thinking that we still have room to improve and keep your feet on the ground. So we have to stay demanding. Yes, there's some more smiles out there after those two wins. The guys are you know, like I said, a little bit more bouncy, but let's keep our focus because we know that it wasn't so long ago that we weren't anywhere near what we needed to be. So just trying to keep them focused and dialed in on the things that have led to, the last couple of victories.
I say that all the time. People tell me I stink. People tell me I'm great. I say, you know what? Probably somewhere in between. Never as good or never as bad. I think we can all live with that advice. Coach, I wish you luck. I appreciate you. And, you know, I don't envy the task that Coach is today. You hit it. You said you're all in it together. I'm watching coaches do a really nice job of trying to keep their teams engaged and focused, and it's not ideal.
No, it's a tough time for sure. But the resiliency these youngsters are showing on the court, off the court, you know, academically, and I'm talking across the board, you know, all the teams you see out there really says a lot. And that's where leadership is key, and that's what college athletics is all about. You know, we're trying to create future incredible leaders, and just proud of the guys for staying in there and fighting through it. It's all about persevering, right?
Yep, you got it. Thanks, Coach. Wish
Appreciate
you the best.
It.
All right, thanks for making time. That's Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State men's basketball coach. If you missed any of that, grab a podcast on iCloud, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud. I said iCloud. SoundCloud, Apple Podcast, iTunes, Google Play. See, you're never as good or never as bad as you think you are. Leave it here. Every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Here we go.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
I just tweeted, and follow me on Twitter, at John Canzano BFT, but I tweeted that Henry Aaron's passing is making me think about Barry Bonds now. What will history say about Bonds when he's in his 80s? I love that Barry's honoring Hank today, but wouldn't the ultimate measure of respect been to not use the cream in the clear to try to erase Henry Aaron from the history books? Judah Newby, let's kick this around. You're a baseball guy. What do you make of Bonds' legacy? How will he be remembered?
Barry set the record when I was in my coming of age as a baseball fan, and I remember being caught up in the excitement. But it also, in the background, it did feel hollow. I didn't know how to handle it because you could hear Johnny Miller's call when he broke, you know, the record. You heard Hank Aaron's video message play at AT&T Park, and it still rung a little hollow because even then I knew that what Barry, quote-unquote, accomplished wasn't as valid as what Henry Aaron did. And so, I don't know, John. For me, it's like, what really is greatness? It matters. It matters that you accomplish things in careers, for sure. It matters that you accomplish things, but what matters more to me is how you go about accomplishing things. And for me, I don't think Barry accomplished anything well. And Hank Aaron did. He was a legend.
I'm going to give you a stat. If you took away all of Hank Aaron's home runs, 755 home runs, you take them away, he'd still have...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.